Morning. Today's daf in Pesachim, Kuf Tes Vav. We are in Kuf Yudalam and Beis. We are at the bottom of the Amud, and we are we're at the Seder. We are finished with the first cup of wine. We are in between Kos Rishon and Kos Sheni. We are going to later this morning encounter the second cup of the wine. That is almost accurate. It's coming up in tomorrow's daf. But anyway. Okay, but I can still say it. We're almost up to the second cup of wine. But anyway, we are between Kos Rishon and Kos Sheni. Kos Rishon was set over Kiddush, and Kos Sheni is going to be set over Magid. So what's going on between Kiddush and Magid? So hopefully at this point in time in all of our lives, we know the answer. The answer is that we eat a vegetable. Okay, the exciting moment of the Seder where we pick a vegetable and we eat a vegetable. Now, why do we do that? It's abnormal, and that's exactly why we do it. It's weird. We want kids to ask questions, and so after Kiddush, normally what happens is that we wash our hands and we have a seuda. And meanwhile, on Seder night, so we pick up a vegetable, we make a bori priya adama, and we eat the vegetable. So that's our weird activities for the Seder night. With that stated, the Mishnah gives a funny scenario. The Mishnah in yesterday's daf in Kuf Yudalid talked about where for the vegetable, so the woman of the house, or for that matter, the father of the house, who went to go shopping, so didn't purchase a separate vegetable, meaning bought a lot of romaine lettuce, because he knew that there was marer, but totally forgot about the vegetable. Okay, so let's take some romaine lettuce and eat it as karpas. Can we do that? Absolutely. There's no problem with that whatsoever. But it engendered a lot of discussion. Yesterday's discussion was a really fundamental discussion about whether or not mitzvahs require kavanah or do not require kavanah. Reish Lakish thinks that our Mishnah is very clear on this issue. Because what our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah says is that you're going to be metalba b'chazeres. You're going to take the romaine lettuce. You're going to dip it. Presumably you're dipping in the charosis, but that's not all too particularly clear. I'm not sure I discussed it yesterday, but there is a discussion amongst the Rishonim already. What you're dipping the karpas in. So it's Tosus yesterday. I'm pretty sure I didn't mention it. But anyway, Tosus mentions yesterday a machlokus amongst the Rishonim in terms of what you're dipping it into. Minhag Ashkenaz is to dip it into salt water, but anyway, you can see it in Tosus in yesterday's daf. But meanwhile, so you're going to take the romaine lettuce. I'm going to call it marah, but just not so it's not confusing. I'll also call it karpas. So you take the karpas, you dip it in you eat it, and then the Mishnah says, and then you're going to have it a second time, in its rightful place, meaning right after the matzah. So Reish Lakish says, okay, so mitzvah shichas kavana. Why? Because if mitzvahs didn't require kavana, so then what happened the first time you ate the marah? You were yotzei zayin with the mitzvah of marah. Either by virtue of the fact that you're having a second time, it means that mitzvahs required kavana. The first time you had it, you didn't have kavana, and the second time now you're having kavana. So that was Reish Lakish, who wanted to use the Mishnah as a platform to teach us that mitzvahs require kavana. That was what we discussed yesterday. The Gemara counterpunched. The Gemara said it's not true. It could very well be that mitzvahs ain't shrichas kavana. Why do I dip twice? Because remember, the first dipping is even if I fulfill my mitzvah, but the principal objective of the first dipping is just to be weird and to do weird things. And one of the legislated weirdness of the Seder night is to have a vegetable between immediately after Kiddush. That's it. In other words, but it does not have to be a referendum on whether mitzvah srichas kavanah or ain't srichas kavanah. Okay. On the Seder plate, there are two tafshilin. The Gemara briefly discussed that. And what were the shnei tafshilin? So, really interesting selections in terms of what the shnei tafshilin is. Again, I'm not sure if I mentioned this yesterday, but our minhag, of course, is to have a shank bone and an egg. That's our minhag. But that's not the only minhag. And Amoraim, a different minhagim. The minhag of Rav Huna was to have beets and rice. Those were his two cooked foods that was on a Seder plate. Rava was so excited. He heard that from Rav Huna. Rava went and got beets and rice as his two cooked foods on a Seder plate. Again, that's not our minhag, but it's obvious that it's not really critical what the two cooked foods are. It just happens to be that there needs to be two cooked foods on the Seder plate. Okay. And the reason why we have two cooked foods, so the Gemara says, B'shem Rav Yosef, is to remind us of a Beis HaMikdash that once was and the foods that normally accompanied our Seder. Normally on the Seder, we have Karban Pesach. We have the Karban Chagigas Yedalit. We don't have that nowadays. So to remind us of once upon a time was, so we have two cooked foods on. Yes, it's a little bit strange. We pointed this out yesterday that the Karban Pesach and the Chagigas Yedalit have to be roasted. They can't be cooked. And it is a little bit funny that we have two cooked foods on our Seder plate. But it's just as current. It's just there to remind us. Okay, that's where we got to yesterday. We're starting in the Gemara now, five lines from the bottom. six lines from the bottom, with the words pshita. The Gemara is now a discussion. We're going to stay on this point of where the person only had romaine lettuce at a Seder, and so he's going to be eating the romaine lettuce now twice, once in the karpa slot, and the second time in the mara slot. And now the Gemara's discussion is going to be really interesting, and that is brachas. What brachas are we going to make? So let's go over what we know. When you eat the mara later that evening, you're going to make a special birchas mitzvah, because the eating of the mara is a mitzvah. Now, as the Gemara is going to point out already numerous times, today's daf, we're going to hear this already a number of times, the mitzvah of mara b'zman hazeh is only a mitzvah d'rabbanan, not a mitzvah d'oraisa. The mitzvah d'oraisa of mara is only when it accompanies Karban Pesach. The Torah says, "Amatzah samarim yochluhu." I eat Karban Pesach together with mara, together with matzah, but we don't have a Karban Pesach nowadays. So the mitzvah of mara nowadays is not a mitzvah d'oraisa, but rather mitzvah d'rabbanan. Nevertheless, it is a mitzvah d'rabbanan, therefore there's a bracha, a birchas mitzvah. But like other mitzvahs to Rabbanan, where there's a berachas mitzvah, the same thing is true with mara. So before we eat mara in its main slot after matzah, so we make a shir kedushan and b'mitzvah savet zivana ala chilas mara. So, okay, that's in a normal year. But in this particular seder that we're looking at right now, so we're eating romaine lettuce actually in the karpa slot as well, because there's no other vegetable. So what are we going to do regarding the brachas? Now, as we all know, when we eat the karpas, so we're going to make a bar priyadama, right? The wine doesn't cover the mara, obviously, and we haven't started the meal yet, and we're about to get hana from the vegetable. All right, limited hana, it's a vegetable, but we're going to get hana from the vegetable, so we're going to make a bar priyadama. So here's what we all know. We all know that by karpas, we're going to make a bar priyadama. We all know that by the mara later that evening after the matzah, we're going to make a birchas mitzvah. The Gemara's discussion right now is going to be the following. Let's say all you have is romaine lettuce, and now you're double dipping, and I'm using that term as literally as possible, with pun intended. You're now going to be double dipping your romaine lettuce, once in the karpa slot and the other time in the mara slot. So when you dip it the first time, so what bracha are you going to make? So that's going to be the Gemara's discussion. Let's begin right now. Pshita, the Gemara says, here's what I know is obvious. Hechadika shar yirakos. So when you're using another vegetable in the karpa slot, so mevercha shar yirakos, bar priyadama, va'achil. So you make a bar priyadama, you eat a v'adam mevercha, l'achilas mar va'achil. And then later in the mar slot, when you're eating the actual mar, so you make a bracha of ala achilas mar, the birchas mitzvah, and you eat it. Okay. And just one more important point pointed out by the Rashbam over here. Later that evening, when you eat the maror, so shouldn't you also be making a bar priyadama? So the Rashbam writes over here, it's the last Rashbam in our Amud, he says it's not necessary. And a really interesting reason why it's not necessary. So if I had a guess, I would have said, well, the maror is in the middle of the meal. You wash your hands, you start your suuda, you know, things that you eat in the meal do not require bracha. That's what I would have said. Rashbam does not say that. The Rashbam says, it's the very last couple of lines of the last Rashbam on the Amud. So, Dehainu Bircha Ru'i Lam, V'yiftor Es Hamarur. The Bori Priyadama that you're saying on the Karpas, that's gonna cover the Mar later that evening. So, Mi Birchos Priyadama, V'achakach Yivarech Alachazeros Alechilas Mar. So the Rashbam says that you made a Bori Priyadama earlier, that's covering the Mar as well. So it's interesting, the Rashbam clearly is of the position that despite the fact that the mar is in the middle of the meal, but it doesn't register as part of the meal. And the bracha of hamotzi is not going to be covering the mar. Now it also happens to be that this is a point of dispute. Meaning Tosos in today's daf, you could see it, second Tosos on Kuftas Vavam and Aleph, he says exactly what I would have suggested, which means I'm thinking along the right lines. Venira, he writes second Tosos, Venir Dein Sarach Levarch Bor Priyadama Alfagav Dahagada Havze Kedaprishla El Velo Mifter Bebircha Shalti Bor Rishon Mikamakom Birchas Amotzi Potrasam Da Havaluhu Dvarim Habayim Besocha Seuda Machmasa Seuda. So Tosos writes that the Mar is considered part and parcel of the meal, and as a result of that, it's covered by the Hamotzi Lechem and Aretz. So really, what you have is the debate amongst the Balei Tosos. I'm not going to make a Bor Priyadama on the Mar, and why not? So it depends who you're asking. If you're asking the Rashbam says it's because you already made Bor Priyadama on the Karpas. If you're asking Tosfos, he says it's because you're in the middle of the meal, you're Besocha Seuda, and you made Hamotzi. And obviously the Rashbam doesn't see it like Tosfos. And in defense of the Rashbam, you'd probably say something along the lines that you can't really view Mara as part of the meal, right? You normally don't take out romaine lettuce and just eat it straight. Right in the middle of the meal, we're eating marur because it's a mitzvah halayla, but it's not part of the seuda. Okay, you say something along those lines. Anyway, let's go back to our Gemara. So the Gemara now set forward what we all know to be obvious. And that is that if you're using another vegetable for karpas, bor pri adama, then later that evening when you get to Maror, you make a birchas a mitzvah, a sher kedushan min mitzvah sav tivan al echelas Maror, that's clear. But, hecha, three lines from the bottom. Hecha delek elechasamai. But if all you have is romaine lettuce, and now you're going to be double dipping. You're going to eat romaine lettuce once at the karpas, and again later that evening in the Maror slot. So what brachas are you going to make? So Rav Huna says nothing changes. You'll make a bar pri adama when you're eating mar in the karpa slot, and you'll make a birchas mitzvah when you eat in the mar slot. Okay, that's Rav Huna's position. So Maskev l'Rav Chista. Rav Chista says, well, that can't be. La'achar shemila kreso himenu chozer mevarchalah. I don't understand. You're eating mar in the karpa slot. It's mar, right? Literally, you filled your stomach with a mar. And only later you're going to make a birchas mitzvah? That doesn't make any sense. Ela amar of chista mi ikar mevarchala bor pri adama va'al achilas maror va'achil ulevesof achilas chaseb lo bracha. So Rav Chista says the proper conduct under these circumstances is that when you eat the maror in the karpa slot the first time, you're going to be making two brachas. You'll make a bor pri adama, and on top of that, you're going to also make the bracha of achilas maror, the birchas mitzvah. And then later that evening, when you eat the maror again, you're not going to make any bracha whatsoever. Not the bari priyadama, not the birchas mitzvah. That's the position of Rav Chista. Now, a lot of points to cover over here with Rav Chista. Tosus on the top of the amud. So, according to Rav Chista, is it the pshat that you fulfilled the mitzvah the first time by karpas? Well, if that's true, so then why are you eating it later on again? And where does Rav Chista stand on the issue of mitzvah srichas kavana or mitzvah ain't srichas kavana? Meaning, if he holds that mitzvah ain't srichas kavana, it's kind of more understandable. Meaning you're fulfilling the mitzvah the first time around. You're not being mechaving. You don't have to be mechaving. If on the other hand, Rav Chista holds the mitzvah srichas kavana, and like the Gemara said yesterday, you're not being mechaving during karpas because that's not the right place of maror, so then that's really strange. Then what are you doing making the birchas mitzvah at that point in time? So Rav Chista's position is confusing, admittedly. Tosus over here writes the following. Top Tosus on the Amud. Rav Chista nami nira disavar de kirei shlakish dabai kavana. So Tosus asserts that according to Rav Chista, he subscribes to Reish Lakish of yesterday's daf, in that mitzvos do in fact require kavana. And that means to say that even though you're eating mar the first round in the karpa slot, you're not intent at that point to fulfill the mitzvah. So now let's wrap our head around this idea. So you're not fulfilling the mitzvah, and yet you're making a birchas a mitzvah. Afal pi kein, Tosus continues. Savar de'ein nachum avarach b'tibol sheni kevin dekshekvar mila kreiso. It's just still not appropriate. Meaning, if you're doing the Maisa HaMitzvah, even though it's not the Kiyum HaMitzvah, but you're doing the Maisa HaMitzvah, it's just inappropriate to let that moment go and not make the Birchas HaMitzvah. Because if, in fact, he held the Mitzvah's Ein Tzrichas Kavana, so then Rav Chista should have been really clear. He should have said it's at that moment in time that you're Mekayim the Mitzvah. And if in fact you were to make a bracha later on by the tibul sheni, that's a bracha levatala. And Rav Chista didn't say any of that. And those are really salient points. By virtue of the fact that Rav Chista didn't say any of that, so it leads Tosfos to the conclusion that really Rav Chista holds like Reish Lakish, that mitzvah tzrichos kavana, the real time that you're being mekayim the mitzvah is later that evening in its correct slot. And the earlier moment in time, so you're not fulfilling the mitzvah, but still it's not appropriate. It's inappropriate to let that moment in time go without making the birchos a mitzvah. So what Tosus is introducing us to is it's a novel idea. It's a tremendous chiddush in that by the first dipping in this unique situation where you're eating maror, in this first dipping, so you're not being mekayim the mitzvah of maror, but yet it's only appropriate that you're making the birchas mitzvah right now because you are in fact eating maror. When is the kiyum mitzvah? That's coming later that evening when you're eating maror in its proper slot. That's Tosus's assertion. And Tosus goes on, the rest of it I'll do outside. And Tosus goes on and Tosus says, you know what? It's not unprecedented. We have this idea elsewhere. So Tosus gives the example by Tkiyah Shofar. Tkiyah Shofar. So let's go over quickly what our minag is by Tkiyah Shofar. So when is the proper time to do the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar? Really, Kol Hayom is the time for mitzvah. But in terms of when is it instituted to do the mitzvah at its proper time, and that is during Musaf, Right? The entire Musaf, well, we're going to discuss this in detail in Rosh Hashanah, Masech to Rosh Hashanah. The entire Musaf of Rosh Hashanah is constructed for Tkiya Shofar. Right? The fact that it's so unusual, it's got 9 brachas, 3 brachas in the middle. Machil, Zichron, Shofros, it's built for Shofar. So the proper time to blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah is during Musaf. And yet, what do? So we have a minhag that goes back to the time of the Gemara, which is before Musaf, we blow Shofar. 30 blasts on the Shofar before Musaf. What's called in the Gemara the Tkiyos de Miyusha. They used to sit for those Tkiyos because those aren't the main Tkiyos. Why do we blow Shofar before Musaf? Okay, so let's wait till we get to the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. It gives a really interesting answer, and we're gonna wait on that. That's really not the point I want to focus on right now. Anyway, so we blow Shofar before Musaf, the Tkiyos de Miyusha, and then what we do is that we blow Shofar in its correct time, meaning before is also correct because the Gemara tells us to, but then we blow it in its slotted spot, which is during Musaf. Okay, and Tosa says, and when do we make a bracha? We make the bracha on Shofar before the Tkiyos de Miyusha. Now, is that are we fulfilling the mitzvah in its correct time for the Tkiyos de Miyusha? The answer is no. The correct slotted time for the Tkiyos Shofar is going to be during Musaf. And yet we make the bracha beforehand. Why do we make the bracha beforehand? Tosha says it's the same thing. Because again, pasnish, it's just simply inappropriate that we're doing a maisa mitzvah of tkiyah shofar and we're not going to blow shofar. Is that the ikar's man shofar? No, it's not the ikar's man shofar. The ikar's man shofar is coming during Musaf. But still, if we're going to be blowing shofar, we got to make the bracha. Tosha says it's the same thing over here for Rav Chista. You're not fulfilling the mitzvah at its correct time. During Karpas, but still, you're eating Mari, you're gonna make a bracha. And then later on, when you're fulfilling in the correct time, there's no need to make a bracha anymore, because you already made the brachas a mitzvah. Really fascinating discussion over here in the Gemara, supplemented with Tosfos. Let's go on in the Gemara. So, Bisuria, Avdi Karavuna, Karavuna. Now, in terms of this machlokas of Rav Chista and Ravuna, where you only have romaine lettuce, and how should the brachas go? So once again, Rav Huna says Bari Pri Adama first during the Karpa slot, Birchas HaMitzvah in the Maru slot, and Rav Chista says no, both the Bari Pri Adama and the Birchas HaMitzvah in the Karpa slot. So the Gemara now is taking sides on where do the Amoraim paskin later Amoraim. So in Surya they paskin like a Rav Huna. Rav Sheshes Bari Dav Yeshua Avik to Rav Chista. Okay, so a machlokus of the later Amoraim whether to side like Rav Huna or Rav Chista. The Gemara over here comes to a clear conclusion that we do in fact pass on like Rav Chista. And then Rav Acha Bered Rava Mahadar Shar Yerach Safuk and Nafshim Miplukta. But then the Gemara makes what is an obvious point, but the Gemara says, you know what, you can avoid this whole discussion. Meaning, if for carpets you have another vegetable, so then you never get into this discussion. Mara, you need one of the bitter herbs. You need romaine lettuce. You need horseradish. It's a bit of a discussion in terms of which one's the preferred one, but I'll leave that aside. But you need a bitter herb. So for karpas, get another vegetable, which is what we all do. And then you never get onto this question. So for karpas, you'll just simply make a bar pri adama. And then for Mar, you make the birchas mitzvah later on that evening. Okay. Amar Ravina. Amar Li Rav Mishar Shebreidar Nasan Hachi Amar Hillel Mishmei de Gemara. So Ravina now quotes Hillel. Now, presumably over here, the Hillel that's being cited over here, not the Hillel Tana Hillel, but it's an Amora by the name of Hillel. So, and he quotes the Mishmei de Gemara. Mishmei de Gemara presumably means over here, it's a tradition. So this is a Masorah that they have. Lo nichar chinish matzah umar bahadi adad avanecha. Don't wrap the matzah and the marah together. Parenthetically, by the way, if marah is in fact horseradish, it's really difficult to understand how you're wrapping the matzah in the horseradish. Okay, so it speaks a little bit better to the idea that marah should be romaine lettuce, but again, I'm not taking a side. So lo nichar chinish matzah umar bahadi adad avanecha. Don't take your matzah, mar, wrap them together, and eat them together. Why? Mishum desvirla matzah bizman hazeh daraisa. And the thinking behind that is as follows. Bizman hazeh nowadays, matzah is a mitzvah daraisa. Now, as we pointed out in the beginning of Shir today, so we don't have a Karm Pesach anymore. Therefore, mar is not a mitzvah daraisa. Can we make the same argument regarding matzah? That matzah is not a mitzvah daraisa? So we're going to learn later in this parak, it's a machlokas, And there are a group of Amorayim, and this is, by the way, the way we paskin, that matzah nowadays is a mitzvah d'oraisa, not just a mitzvah d'rabbanan. There's a separate pasuk that speaks to the mitzvah of matzah, even if it exists independent of the Karm Pesach. Okay, anyway, matzah nowadays is daraisa. Mar derabanan, the mitzvah of mar nowadays is mitzvah derabanan. And I'll say mar derabanan mevatel ela matzah daraisa. And what's going to happen is that the taste of the mar is going to overpower the matzah. And being that mar is a din derabanan, so when I hold it up from a mitzvah standpoint, relative to matzah, mar is nothing. Okay, again, let's just be clear. Relative to matzah, mar is nothing. And so therefore, what I'm doing now is I'm overpowering the matzah with a da'araisa non-entity. And then we're not tasting the matzah. Ve'afila mandamra mitzvah same mevalo zu azu. Now, there is an opinion that says that these mitzvahs do not negate one another. But that's hani milo da'araisa ba'da'araisa, da'rabanan ba'da'rabanan. But that's when the mitzvahs are on the same playing field. So when you're working with a level playing field, so they don't negate one another. Aval daraisa v'darabanan, nasi darabanan, mavatale l'daraisa. But over here, where the mar is a mitzvah darabanan and the matzah is a mitzvah daraisa, so they do negate one another. Mantana deshamas le mitzvah same mavatale zuazu hilohi. Now, who is a tanu who subscribes to this position? So it's hilo. Now, right, just to be clear, this is now hilo the tana, clearly. Ditanya would quote a brisa. Amar olav al hilo shaya korchem bevasachas va'ochlan. So what Hillel would do is he would wrap all three things together. Now it's not just matzah and mar; it's also karm pesach as well. He would wrap it up. It's the original shawarma, meaning the matzah. Right, our matzahs are, you know, are crisp, but back in the day they were soft. And so what'd you do? So you wrapped it around according to Hillel. And what was inside of it? So it was lamb meat. And then on top of that, you also had lettuce. Okay, so the original shawarma, if you will. So based on the pasuk that you're eating them all together, interesting that they quote from Pesach Sheni. Anyway, so clearly according to Hillel, so they're not negating one another, but they're not negating one another because they're all on the same level playing field. Obviously, we're talking about where the mitzvah of matzah and maror are a mitzvah daraisa. They're accompanying the Karban Pesach. So in those circumstances, so they're not mevatel zu et zu. But when one's daraisa and one's darabanan, like matzah mar bizmana zeh, where matzah's daraisa, mar's darabanan, they do negate one another. I'm Rav Yochanan chalukin alav chaver v'al hilal. Now Rav Yochanan notes, not everyone's on board with this idea of hilal, that we should be eating them all together. Meaning bizman beis hamikdash. You're going to be eating your pesach matzah mar all together. Not everyone's in agreement with that. Ditanya. The Gemara quotes the following brisa: Yachol yekorcham bevasachas va'ochlan keder chehila ochlan. I might have thought this is a havamin of the brisa that you have to eat them together. Tamalamar almasu samarim yochluhu afilu ze bifnei atzmo v'zeh bifnei atzmo. So the brisa says no yochluhu. You can eat them, meaning even separate from one another. Okay, so a simple reading of the brisa would indicate that you have a choice. You can either eat all three pesach matzah mar together, or you can eat them separately. Now, as the Gemara is about to point out, this is not a clear refutation of Hillel. In fact, in the Brisa gave you options. And that's exactly the Gemara's next point. Maskefla Ravashi, achi, my afilu. Well then, Rav Yochanan's point is that these Tanaim argue on Hillel. Not necessarily. These Tanaim say that you have an option. And the word afilu is very clear. So Elam Ravashi, ay tana hachi ketani. So Ravashi says, you know what? I'm gonna give you this one. That's what the Brice is saying. So you're right. The author of this Brice is saying is that the Havamina would be that the only way to fulfill the mitzvah is by wrapping them all together, eating them all together. So you're absolutely right. The author of this Brice says that you have options. You could do it like Hillel, but you don't have to do it like Hillel. You can eat them separately. So then the statement that was made by Rabbi Yochanan, that Kokin alav chaver of Hillel, that there are those who argue on Hillel. So from the Brice over here, we haven't concluded that way. Because the Brice over here just tells us that you have options. So the Rashbam makes this point. The Rashbam realizes that this Brice over here is not going to support Rabbi Yochanan, that there are those who are in diametric opposition to Hillel. Who are they? So we don't know. The Rashbam just simply writes over here, Dibra Maska, Maska Vla Ravashi, Umi Ochokin Alav Chaver Kareb Yochanan Ava Mehacha Lo Shamina. Yeah, we're not going to get it from this Brisa, but Rav Yochanan has a Mesorah, that there are those who are diametrically opposed to Hillel, and you have to eat them separate from one another, and you can't mix them together. Okay. Hashad Delo Itmar Hichos Aloke Hillel Velo Karabanan. So now, Bizman Azeh, so what are we going to do? So the halach is not like Hillel, the halach is not like the Chachamim. Meaning, again, we have a Masorah that was given to us by Rav Yochanan, that there are those who argue with Hillel. And you have to eat him separately. So what should now be our practice? So here should be our practice. Mevarech al achilas matzah v'achel. So here's what we're going to do. And this, of course, is what we do. Every one of us at our Seder night. So we first make a bracha of al achilas matzah. And we eat the matzah. Of course, we also make hamotzi. V'hadr mevarech al achilas mar v'achel. We make the brachos ha-mitzvah mar. We eat it separately. And then v'hadr achel matzah v'chasa. V'hadr adadi below bracha. Zechel ha-mikdash ke'elo. And then we eat the matzah mar together. And we do so below bracha. We don't make a bracha on the kol reich. And we remind ourselves, Zechel HaMikdash Kehillo. Right? A discussion, by the way, not for the Daf Yomi, not for the objective of Daf Yomi, but a discussion. In our Haggadah, we actually say Zechel HaMikdash Kehillo. We actually, in the Nusach Haggadah, I mean, I only speak Ashkenaz, but I assume it's in the Sephardic Nusach as well, but we actually insert that. It's a little bit funny because we're doing so before we eat the korech, and really there should be no hefsek. Okay, anyway, a discussion to be had. But in the meantime, however, this idea that there are two shitos, either you're going to be of the school of Hillel, or you're going to be of the school of the Chachamim, and predicated on the fact that there's no firm halachic stance on this, so therefore what we try to do is we cover our bases. So first we eat matzah independently, then we eat mar independently, and then, again, we don't have Karm Pesach, so for us, the next stage is Durabanan, but just to remind ourselves of what Hillel did, so then we eat the matzah mar together. Okay. Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Oshia. Okay, next topic of today's daf. We are two lines from the bottom. Kuf tes vavam and aleph. So kol shetibula b'mashket tzarech netilas yadayim. Anything that gets dipped in a liquid is going to require netilas yadayim. So which means to say that if I take any food, right, in this case vegetable, and we're about to dip in a liquid, so I need to wash my hands prior to me dipping it. Now, this is all based on rules regarding Tumat Tahara. And it gets a little bit complicated, and a lot of it is built on, or I'll say better, all of it's built on, not just Tumah, but Tumah de Rabbanans. So let's just quickly run through what the considerations are. Take a look at the last Rashbam over here, who says it so succinctly. He writes, Kegon Yerek Bekuta Chol Bechometz, you take your vegetable, and you're dipping it in any dip. Even kutach, by the way, is considered a dip for the purpose of this halacha. So the kutach was more liquid than it was solid. Okay? I know it's one of the most popular dips that come up throughout Shas. But anyway, you dip it in kutach, you dip it in chomes. So tsarich netilas yadayim, you gotta wash your hands. Mishum mashkesh hayadayim shnios. Because here's what we know. That a person's hands are operating on a sheni latuma. That's a din derabanan. The idea that your hands that have not been washed and been guarded are considered a sheni l'tuma. Fine. V'chol apostos l'tuma metame mashkin lios tchila. So that's legislation piece number one, that your hands are a sheni. Second piece of legislation, rabbinic legislation, that when a sheni comes into contact with a liquid, so normally with the transmission of tuma, it goes down a level. That means the liquid should be a shlishi. And if it's chulin, by the way, the shlishi become, the mashkin become nothing. However, as further rabbinic legislation by Tuma, so what's going to happen to the liquid's going to become a Rishon. So your hands are a sheni that comes into a liquid, the liquid's going to become a Rishon. Why did the rabbis legislate all this? For a different time. But I know time is of the essence right now, and on a different occasion, we will discuss this, and I'm sure we have discussed this in the past as well. In the meantime, however, so now, what happens is that if you're going to dip the vegetable, you see, if you don't dip the vegetable, so then there's no transmission of tumah, not even midrabanan, because your hands are a sheni, the vegetable is chulin, the vegetable is not going to become tumah at all. However, if you're dipping in a liquid and presumably your hands are coming into contact with the liquid, so now the liquid's a rishon, and the rishon liquid now is going to make the vegetable tumah. Fine. To avoid that, you wash your hands before you eat the vegetable. Now, certainly the way the Gemara presents it over here, this should be an everyday occurrence. Every time we eat vegetables or anything that, or any food that we're going to dip into a liquid, we should be washing our hands. And, right, to be a little bit cute, or at least an attempt to be cute, manishana halayla azeh, we call halaylos, right, on Seder night. So we're washing our hands, but we don't do it any other night of the year. We don't do it any other day of the year. Okay, so once again, it opens up a discussion, not to be had now, in terms of why do we only do this on the Seder night. But anyway, so that's the rule. So kol shetibula b'mashket tzarech netilas yadayim. Amar Rav Papa Shmamina, Hai Chasa, so Rav Papa says, okay, good. So now we conclude the following. Sarech lishakuye becharoses mishum kapa. So when you're taking your maror and you're dipping it into the charoses, it's got to go in. It's got to be a dip. So and you got to go all the way in. Now why? So that's an excellent question. So why? Why are we dipping the why are we dipping the vegetable into the charoses? So the Gemara over here gives us an interesting reason why. It's because of kapa. Now what is kapa? So over here Rashi and Tosfos both say that kapa is that there's something acidic slash poisonous about the vegetable that we're about to eat. It poses a risk hazard. Now, we're going to have to say that this is not a high-level risk. This is a really low-level risk because there's no way that the Chachamim would institute. There's no way that the Torah would instruct us to eat maror when there's any kind of real risk that's involved. It's a low-level risk. Okay. After that, though, I can only guess in terms of what kind of risk we're talking about. And so, therefore, there's just a trace amount of some sort of poison that exists within the vegetable. You dip in the charoses, and that serves as an antidote against the poison. That's the way the Rashi explains it. That's the way the Rashbam explains it. That's the way Tosfos explains it. But the Rashbam himself also quotes the Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel says that there's a worm that exists within the maror, and then what we're doing is that we are dipping it in order to kill the worm. Now that, of course, is really difficult. You're killing the worm, aren't you? Eating the worm? So the Rashbam over here, you can see the top Rashbam over here. It gets into a halacha that if you have worms that are indigenous to the actual plant itself, you're allowed to eat that worm. I don't want to get too involved in that. It's a Gemara in Chulin. It happens to be the Rashbam favors this pshat. But I just, for our purposes right now, so you should know that there's another pshat in terms of why we're dipping the mar into the charoses and what the definition of kappa is. But right now, I'm just going to stay with the Rashbam, with Tosfos, that we're talking about some sort of possible trace amounts of poison within the marer, and dipping it into the charoses serves as mitigation. Good. Now we go back to the Gemara. If you don't have to dip it, it tells you time lamali. So halonaga, meaning if all I have to do is just simply wave the marer over the charoses, but I don't have to dip it in, then I don't have to wash my hands. Because the only reason I'm washing my hands is because of the possible contact with my hands and the liquid, right? These halachas of tumah only apply to liquid. They don't apply to the actual carpus itself. So clearly over here, it's got to be a full dip. So the Gemara says, okay, Vidilma. The Gemara says, okay, I hear you, but you can really push back a little bit. Vidilma lo'olam eim lechalo tzarech l'shakuyi v'kapa merecha mayis. So the Gemara says, look, here's what I could argue. I can argue that the dip is not necessary, meaning, let me be clear, the dip is necessary. But to go with the carpus or the mara into the dip, that's not necessary. The kappa, maybe the kappa is going to be killed just by the aroma that's coming off the charosis. So, and then therefore, why wash our hands? We wash our hands because we may go in too far. But it's not the pshat that I have to take the mara and go into the charosis. Maybe I could just simply hover it over the charosis and that would be enough. And the washing of the hands is only as a precaution because I may go all the way in and make contact with the actual dip itself. Okay. Amra Papa Lonishi Amar Vecharosis Dilma Agav Chai the Tavla Mivatole Lemurure Uveina Tamar Veleka. So Rav Papa gives us another halacha, and that's the following. So don't take the marer and have the marer sitting in the charosis, meaning the marer into the charosis, in, out, that's it. And you'll see many Haggadahs say that you should shake off the excess charosis. We want to be tasting the maror. I know we want to be tasting the charosis. The charosis is probably one of the best things on the table on the Seder night. But vis-a-vis the mitzvah of maror, so you only want a quick dip. And again, the dip over here is just for purposes of dip, it's just for mitigation, as we just learned on the top of our amud. And so, but you don't want to be mevatel the tam of the maror. So just simply go in, come out, and that's it. Adaber of Chisla Ravana Ukva Vidarish. So Rav Chisla Ravana Ukva are walking together and they publicize the following halacha. Natal Yada Betibo Risha, Notal Yada Betibo Sheni. So what you're gonna do is that even though you wash your hands for the first dip, meaning for the karpas, but you're gonna be washing your hands again for the second dip. And that's gonna be for the maror. Now, it got me thinking. You're washing your hands a second time for the maror. First of all, we don't. And secondly, we just washed our hands for the matzah. So, and now, is the Gemara now saying that you have to wash again for the maror? So Tosfos says no. Tosos, second Tosos on the Amitzar, she yito betibol sheni, lav dafka naka betibol sheni, da ha'avid lay basar ha'motzi. The banitil siyadayim, ela agav tibol rishon, naka tibol sheni, vanitil anami gam letzarach tibol ba. Okay, so Tosos clarifies and Tosos says no. The washing for the motzi is going to be covering the washing also for the marah as well. But it just, the point is over here, is that if it were just for the washing of the first dip, so that's not going to cover the washing for the second dip. Why not? Now, I know I just left that question open-ended. Why not? The Gemara is now going to be discussing. Are we talking about the Seder night? Or are we talking about on any given night? Now, again, from the perspective of the Gemara, this requirement of washing your hands before dipping a vegetable into liquid is year-round. Again, it's a curiosity, more than a curiosity, in terms of I'll speak for myself, why I only wash my hands at the Seder night, and I don't wash my hands year-round when dipping vegetables into liquid. But nevertheless, from the perspective of the Gemara, this statement that we just learned together, is that a year-round statement, or is that a Seder night statement? So, Amru Rabbanan Kamei D'Rab Papa Haba Ama Itmar. This is a year-round statement. Itmar La, because if you think that we're talking about the Seder night, so Natil Sidaim Trey Zimna Ha Mashla Yad Chada Zimna. So I don't understand. On the Seder night, you know you wash your hands already for the first dip, and already by the first dip, you know that a second dip is coming. So it would stand to argue that on the Seder night you wouldn't have to wash again. Again, all this is ignoring the idea that we wash our hands anyway a second time for the matzah. But we're just focusing on right now the idea that if matzah were taken out of the discussion, would I need it to dip a second time at the Seder night? The Gemara is right now trying to argue no, because I know it was coming anyway. So Amalu Rapapa, so Rapapa says no. Adaraba hacha itmar. This halacha of the requirement to wash a second time for the maror, that's a Seder night requirement. Meaning on any other night, so if I wash my hands for the first dip, so good. So you dip once, you'll dip as many times as you want. You washed your hands already. You're in the middle of the meal. Elamai hacha itmar, nitil sidaim trei zimna lamali, hamashile yad echad zimna. So, and by the Seder night, you know the second dip is coming later that night. So why would there be any stronger argument to make that there should be a second washing of the hands? The explanation actually is really simple, because there's a built-in hefsek into the Seder night. In the Seder night, so after the first dip, after karpas, what do? So we're going to be taking a long, hard pause where you have a section of Magid. So it depends on whose Seder you go to, but Magid takes a long time. So there's a built-in hefsek in the Seder night, and therefore it's going to demand that you're going to have to wash again a second time. So Rav Papa says that, look, year-round, so you're doing multiple dips in a meal, you don't have to wash your hands every time. Okay, you're in the middle of the meal. But for the Seder night where you have a built-in hefsek in the Seder with the section of Magid, so then for sure you're going to have to wash a second time for the second dipping of that evening. Good. And if we can just for a moment go back in time. So again, a machlokas that we visited, but let's revisit it right now. So for the second cup of wine, are we going to make another bor priya gafen? Ashkenazim do, Sfardim don't. And what that issue over there is the following. We already made a bor priya gafen at Kiddush. So I got to make another bor priya gafen at the end of Magid. So for the Ashkenazim, the answer is yes. Why? So one of the reasons why is because of what we just learned. Because Magid serves as a hefsek. Meaning, yes, we made a Bori Priya Gafen earlier, but Magid serves as a hefsek. Since Magid serves as a hefsek, so now the Bori Priya Gafen that we made by Kiddush is not going to cover our next cup of wine. Therefore, we make a Bori Priya Gafen. And the Shulchan Aruch, the Sfardim, so they say no. You know, you don't make a Bori Priya Gafen on the second cup of wine because you already made a Bori Priya Gafen earlier. The Gemara over here says that Magid is a hefsek. Okay, but the Gemara over here says that Magid is a hefsek for washing of your hands. Don't know if that translates also to Bori Priya Gafen. Okay. Amarava. Back to our Gemara. Bala matzah yatsa, bala mar lo yatsa. You swallowed matzah. A near impossible feat. But in other words, the idea over here is that you didn't chew on the matzah, you didn't taste the matzah. You put it in your mouth, you swallowed it. Okay, right? If I may suggest, that sounds like a choking hazard, but just to stay on the Gemara's point, which is that chewing and tasting is not ma'akev. Now, the Rashbam writes over here that lichatchila, you should chew it, and you should taste it. And if I could just add also practically, You should chew it, and you should before sending it down your throat. But the point of the Gemara is that it's not ma'akev. Taste of the matzah is not ma'akev. However, contrast that to marur. Balamar lo yatsa. If you take the marur and you ingest the marur without chewing it and without tasting it, you're not yotze. So balamatzah mar yidei matzah yatsa yidei marur lo yatsa. Now let's say you throw the matzah marur into your mouth and you ingest both. So for matzah you were yotze, but for marur you're not yotze. Again, it's the same idea. The Gemara just wanted to show what happens when I do both at the same time. Karchem besivu valan af yidei matzah namar lo yatsa. Let's say I were to wrap the matzah and the marur together in some sort of palm frond. I'm definitely not doing a good job explaining what I'm wrapping it in. Anyway, the point is over here is that if I wrap it and swallow it, you are not yotze, not even the matzah. Now that's of course interesting because we just learned together that you don't have to taste the matzah. And meanwhile, if I wrap it, so then I'm not fulfilling neither marur nor matzah. Why not matzah? So the Rashbam writes over here, karchan. The Yishneim Yachad B'Siv HaGadol Saviv HaDekol Lo Yatzah Sharei Lo Yamamish B'Fiv Lo Zev Lo Zeh U'Kizorik Evan L'Chemes Dami. So the Rashbam's explanation over here is because if I wrap it in something and then ingest it, that's not even considered like it went into your mouth. Meaning even though by Marur, so L'Chatzchila you should taste the Marur, but B'Di Evidence you don't have to taste the Marur. But still, the marah has to go into your mouth, and it has to be a maisa achila. It has to be an act of eating. So if I wrap it and ingest it, that's not even considered a maisa achila. That's the Rashbam's explanation. Continuing in the Gemara, Amar Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, Masa lefnei kol echad ve'echad, Mar lefnei kol echad ve'echad, Charos lefnei kol echad ve'echad. So everyone should have their own matzah. Everyone should have their own mar in front of them. Everyone should have their own charosus in front of them. Ve'in okren es ha'shulchan el lefnei mish omer hagada. In terms of Akira Sashuchan, removing the table, that's only in front of the Baal Haggadah. Okay. And Rav Huna Amar Kulanam Lifnei Misha Omer Haggadah. Rav Huna says, no, the matzah, the mar, the charosis, it can all be in front of the Baal Haggadah. Obviously, when it comes to the time of eating, he'll distribute, but in terms of the Seder night, it only has to be in front of the Baal Haggadah. The Hilchasaka Rav Huna, and the Halacha is like Rav Huna. Now, going back to Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, even though it's not the accepted halacha, but why does Rav Shimi Bar Ashi demand that the matzah, the marur, and the charosis have to be in front of everybody? So once again, a really interesting tosos. Tosos over here writes, matzah lefnei kol echa ve'echa marur v'chulei, near the time, as the tosos suggests the reason why, kidei sheyitom tekef labracha miyad, kivin shezos habracha hi l'shem chova, ava b'shar yimos hashana deina bracha chova, ein tzarech l'tom tekef labracha miyad. So really interesting. So when it comes to matzah, when it comes to marur, they're not just consumptions, but they're mitzvos. They're obligations. And therefore, they should be juxtaposed to the bracha as much as possible. There should be as close proximity between bracha and achila. And as opposed to like a regular Shabbos, yes, we're eating, but the eating is an oneg. The eating is not a chova. I know I'm splitting hairs over here, But it's not a chova, it's not an obligation, it's not a mitzvah to eat the challah. So therefore, there can be somewhat more of a pause. Obviously, you don't want to pause too much between the birchos hanenin and the achila, but in contrast that to the mitzvah, where for the mitzvah, you want them as close together. That's a possible explanation, says Tosfos, for the position of Rav Shimi Bar Ashi. But again, we don't paskin that way. We paskin like Rav Huna, that the Baal Haggadah, this is how we do it. Again, I'll speak for myself. This is how I do it. And that is, I have the matzah mar in front of me and then distribution. Someone gave me a great suggestion. I'll pass it along. And that is that, already have the marur, ready for distribution, right? In other words, make little packets of marur. And that way, after you make the bracha, so you don't have to start there ripping marur and just pass it around to everybody. Okay, but anyway, but it only needs to be in front of the Baal Haggadah. So, lama okernes ashochan. Now this idea of akir sashochan, you're going to be lifting the table. What's that all about? So, amr debay rabbi yana kedesh akir tinokas v'yishalu. So again, in theme with the idea that you want to do something which is weird, the children are going to ask, what are you doing? We make kiddush. And then we eat the carpus, and then what do? Oh, we pick up the table. We start walking away with the table. And your child is just slightly curious as to what's going on. He's going to ask you, well, what are you doing? And good. And that's what we want to do. We want to prompt questions for that evening. Abai Ava Yosef Kami de Rabba. The Rashman points out, Tosus points out as well. Nowadays, obviously, we don't pick up the table and we don't walk away with the table, right? Our tables are big. Back in the days, they had tray tables. Nowadays, so we have this monstrosity in our dining room. We're not picking up the table and walking away with the table. So we take the Ka'ara, Tosus writes this, we take the Ka'ara and we just simply move it to the side, right? Sometimes it's a non-event, right? Nobody notices. But obviously you got to do it in a way which is pronounced so that people around the Seder see that you're doing something strange. You want to be as strange as possible. Abai Ava Yosef Kame de Rabba. Abai was in front of Rabba and Chaza de Kam Madli Taka Mekame. Okay, so remember Rabba raised Abaye, right? This point goes throughout Shas and it's been accentuated a number of times over here in this Perek. So now Abai's at the Seder of Rabba. Rabba raised him, Rabba taught him, right? Rabba was both even though he wasn't his biological father, but he was his foster home and he was also his Rebbe. And so Abai's by the Seder and Rabba picks up the table and starts walking away with the table at the beginning of the Seder, right? Like we just learned together. So Amalu Adain lo kachlin and Asu kama akre takami kaman. And so Abaye looks at Rabba and says, what's going on over here? This is Abaye as a child. What's going on over here? You pick up the table, you're walking away with the table. So Amalei Rabba, patarta miloma manishtana. So Rabba says to Abaye, beautiful. That's unbelievable. We don't even have to say the manishtana. Meaning you asked the questions already. We don't even have to say the manishtana. Now it certainly sounds like from the Gemara over here that as long as the child asks any question whatsoever, so the manishtana is not necessary. Tomorrow's daf, we're going to go through the manishtana, the four questions that we're basically going to get the kid to ask. But it certainly sounds like from our Gemara that if the kid asks the question organically, so then there's no need for the manishtana. That's a simple reading of our Gemara. So, and not only is that the simple reading of our Gemara, let's take a look at the last Rashbam together. The last Rashbam of the Amud, Patartim Alom Manishtana, Detayin Lakama Chacham Beno Sho'alov, Imlav Sho'al Hu La'atzmo, Manishtana. So we're going to see in tomorrow's Daf a Braisa. The Braisa says that if the child is a Chacham, the child's going to ask. And if the child is not a Chacham, so then we're going to just feed the questions, Manishtana. So it certainly sounds like from the Gemara in tomorrow's Daf, the Rashbam saying it really clearly, that Manishtana is just simply there in the event that nobody's going to be asking an intelligent question, or any question for that matter. So Vikev and the Rashbam writes, Vikev and Sheshal Olana Manishtana, Einanu Tzrichem Lomar Manishtana, El La Hashiv Al Dvarav, Lefish and Ishtabdim B'Mitzrayim, Anu Asim Kol Advar Ma'ila. So now a question is asked, so now that the question is asked, you can answer. Now, admittedly, by the way, the answer has nothing to do with the question. Why am I removing the table? I'm so happy you asked. You know, Kodesh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. So it's clear that the Q&A don't have to match one another. But we need the questions. And now, as a larger issue, why are the questions so important for the Seder night? So I know this makes for countless drushas that I've heard. I still am not sure if I'm able to articulate really well why questions are so critical. But right now, the why, I'm not so good with right now. But the what, that for sure we could say. Questions are critical. And over here, the child that asks a question, it dispenses with the manishtana. Now, to be fair, by the way, you read the Rambam, which I don't have in front of me right now. You read the Rambam, that's not the sense you get in the Rambam. The Rambam sounds like that even if the child asks a question, you're still going to be reading the manishtana. The manishtana is part of the nusach of the Haggadah. You read the manishtana. Okay, so to be fair, the way I presented the Gemara, which is the Rashbam's reading of the Gemara, so that's not unilateral, and the manishtana is not to be taken out according to the Rambam, even though the child asked a question. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with the words Amar Shmuel, and let's quickly review our daf today. Number one, our first big topic of discussion today is that if all I have is romaine lettuce and I'm going to be dipping it twice, I'm going to be double dipping the romaine lettuce. So then, I'm gonna make what brachas on the first dip? Machlokis amarayim between Rav Huna and Rav Chista. The halach is like Rav Chista that you front load the brachas. And you're going to make both the Bari Pri Adama and the Birchas HaMitzvah, Al Achilas Marur, on that first dip. And then we had a lengthy discussion according to Rav Chista, which is the halacha. So what are we saying? That you fulfilled the mitzvah in the first dip? You know, maybe you fulfilled the mitzvah only in the second dip. But still, just not appropriate to do the mitzvah and not make the berachos a mitzvah. So again, I discussed that in somewhat more detail, and using Tosfos's comparison to this and the tekiah shofar that we do on Rosh Hashanah. Our second big topic of discussion today, the idea that when if I'm eating matzah mar together bizman hazeh, so now mar is the rabbanah, matzah is the raisa, the rabbanah mar is going to overpower the matzah, and mitzvos are mevatel zuadzu. On the same level playing field, however, mitzvahs are not mevatel zuadzu. That's at least the opinion of Hillel. Rav Yochanan points out, however, subject to a machlokas, not everybody's in agreement. Chachamim argue with Hillel. And therefore, our practices, as the Gemara concludes on the Amud Aleph, is that what we're going to do is that to satisfy everybody's opinion, we're going to eat the matzah independently, then we're going to eat the mar independently, and then we're going to eat the two together. The Gemara then went on the bottom of the Amud Aleph to the top of the Amud Beis, with the halacha of dipping, of washing your hands before dipping. Because when your hands come into contact with the liquid now becomes a rishon, and thereby being metame the food, so therefore you have to wash your hands before you dip anything. And presumably any time of the year. Again, we don't do that, or I don't do that, but that's a simple pshat of the Gemara. And then a discussion to be had in the Gemara. First of all, the first point the Gemara covers is, does that mean that we have to take the mar and actually dip it into the charoses? So presumably the answer is yes, but the Gemara fought back a little bit against that idea. Maybe there's no absolute requirement to dip it, just simply hovered over the charoses. Why are we dipping the mar in the charoses? So the Gemara says, because there's a possible trace amount of something which is unhealthy for us, let's call it a poison, and therefore the dipping is going to serve as mitigation. But the Gemara also writes that you should make sure that you don't dip it in for too long a period of time because we want the mar to be bitter. That's the whole point of the eating of the mar, is that we want it to be bitter. If we wash our hands for the first dipping, does that mean they're going to have to wash our hands again for the second dipping later that evening? So Rav Papa says at the Seder night, the answer is yes, affirmative. Why? Because Maggid serves as a hefsek. The ingestion of matzah without tasting it. The Gemara says that you're yotze. That's not true by maror. Ingesting of maror without tasting it, you're not yotze. But with maror, you are going to be yotze. However, it has to be an achila, which means that I can't wrap the matzah up and eat the matzah while it's wrapped up with some foreign matter. It has to be a maisa achila, but you don't have to taste the matzah. The next point that we covered is, does the matzah and maror and charoses have to be in front of every participant, or is it good enough to be just in front of the Bala Seder? Gemara's response to that is it just has to be in front of the Bala Seder. Kiras HaShochan, our last topic of discussion, the removal of the table at the beginning of the Seder, right? After Kiddush, after Karpa, so we remove the Seder, we remove the table. And why? So, because we want the kids to ask questions. And Maisa Shahaya abides by the Seder of his Rebbe Rabbah, and Rabbah picks up the table and walks away with it. Abai says, what's going on? And Rabbah says, beautiful. That's exactly what I wanted. And the language of the Gemara is, patartim alam manishtana. We don't have to say manishtana. Which a simple reading of the Gemara would indicate that they just skipped manishtana and then they went to avadim hayinu. Okay. And I noted that that's a simple reading, that's a Rashbam's reading, but that's not the only way to read the Gemara. Nowadays, as Tosfos points out, we went over this, nowadays that our tables are just too big to just walk away with our table, so we take the kara and we move the kara off the table.